Let's start in Genesis chapter 3. And then we're going to go to the New Testament, to two books in the New Testament. Again, next Sunday night, should be beginning the series on the Word of God, and the translation issue, with all the dozens and dozens of different translations that are out there. And we're going to dive into that, and I'm looking forward to it. It'll definitely be one. Of course, we'll have it. Obviously, everything's going to be recorded, the videos. But I think it's going to be one you're going to want to take notes on. I would even get a separate book, what I would recommend for it, based on the topics that I'm going to be covering and breaking down. I've got a whiteboard back in my office now that I'm just trying to break down the different subject areas that I'm going to cover as we go through this. I want it to be, comprehensive would not be the right word, but I do want it to be thorough. I want you to know why you believe what you believe when it comes to it. Is the devil has different angles with it. I mean, we can even use Genesis chapter 3. He's always attacked God's word. It is naive for you to believe he stopped attacking God's word. Naive. And he appears, we're going to see in this point, he appears as an angel of light as well. Same thing he's doing with the mess that's out there right now. And just like he did with Peter and James and even the Lord Jesus Christ, he tries to make it look like that's the anti-intellectual approach to the Word of God. So it comes from a prideful standpoint as well. I think it'll be a help. So be praying for it, the study with it. That adds a whole nother dynamic every week now in preparation besides Sunday morning and Wednesday nights with going into a level of something like this, similar to the Calvinism one. All right, now Genesis chapter 3, the very first verse says this: "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then shall your eyes be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Let's jump over to Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Here is Satan, the Lord referring to some of the work of Satan, I should say right here. Look at verse 31 of chapter 22. "The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we certainly do love you, and I thank you for your word. Lord, I ask your blessing upon the service tonight. One, of course, help me stay true to your word and to preach your truth and not anything that thus saith me, or don't allow me to get in the way and mess this thing up. Father, I pray that you would use it to strengthen us as we look at this such an important topic tonight. Lord, I pray that you strengthen my throat. Help me to be able to speak clearly through this, and that you be glorified and honored. Please use it to change us, to draw us closer to you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Genesis chapter 3. when the devil appeared unto Eve, and she did not quite understand the being that she was dealing with in that moment. Didn't understand this. I don't think she had the knowledge of this is Lucifer. This is the fallen one. And Lucifer makes it seem as if he is there to help her. All right? That I am there to help you. I have knowledge that you need. And I want to tell you the real reason God does not want you to have this. Okay? Now, of course, she was pretending to be a friend, pretending to be somebody who wanted to help. But the truth is, obviously, he simply wanted them destroyed. Creation has taken place, and he's part of that creation, by the way. All the Bible's clear, all the hosts of heaven were created at the same time. So we don't know the time frame that passed. The Bible doesn't give us that. We'll find out when we get to heaven, and so be it. But nonetheless, prior to this event, obviously Satan had rebelled in his pride and has fallen and had great influence up in heaven. I mean, it still boggles my mind. It's one of those things that I'll understand when I get to heaven. How a third of those angelic beings could follow that path. But the Lord knew. He was in control. Remember, none of that surprised God. He knew when he spoke him into creation exactly what would happen and exactly how he would use it. Okay. Nonetheless, in Genesis chapter 3, when we are introduced to Satan, he is subtle. He appears to be Eve's friend, and he is not. I even listened to, I don't know if you saw that went viral. There's a teaching going around how the real savior of the world, based on Genesis 3, is actually Satan and not God. Just insane. Luke 22, of course, that is near the crucifixion, the arrest and crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord's trying to encourage Peter because the Lord knows. He knows that in a few hours, this is what's so amazing about God. He knows that in a few hours, Peter will deny him. And here he is helping him. He's not ready to say, "You stinking coward. I've trained you for 3 years. I've done everything for you. You're going to deny me like that?" You know what I love about the Lord? He remembers we are but dust. And so here, even though Peter's getting ready to sin against him and deny him, he's there to help him. Peter, just so you know. And he knows the spiritual battle that's taking place that Peter is completely unaware of. Satan is involved in this himself. He said, "Peter, I am telling you, Satan wants you. He wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to grind you." And then, of course, in 1 Peter, we have the warning given to us about our adversary, the devil, walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is active and he is real. So I want to look at, again, I think I'm just going to cover one point of here this evening, and then we're going to close. And that is, I want to look at some aspects here to the devil and what he does. Now, first off, you need to understand this. He does have power. We know that. He does. He's certainly not all powerful. He's not even close to all powerful. It's not even in the same ballpark. But the Lord has allowed him a measure of power that is in place right now. All right? I'm not going to turn there. I can give you the scriptures. You can look at this at the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether that's Luke or Matthew. You can see a measure of power that had been given to Satan under the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Son of God that he's having a conversation with. This is the Son of God that he's placing on the pinnacle. Think about that. So it demonstrates a measure of power that Satan does have. We know from verses like, and I'm not going to turn there again. I don't think any of the verses, I've several, I don't think we're going to turn there. In Acts 26:18, that he has the power to keep people in darkness. I mean, when you look at our world right now, I mean, you can see his power. It is the strongest I have ever seen it. And it's not even close. I mean, looking at the election this week with them bringing in a bus to kill babies. At the Democratic National Convention. To throw it in your face. That was on purpose, to throw it in your face over the Supreme Court's ruling on abortion. They pulled in a bus so you can get a quick abortion at the DNC. Amazing. And then to listen to the people outside. The hatred. The blindness that's there. There was a clip of this person, and I'm not being mean, I just don't know what it was. I think it was a man dressed as a woman. And yelling at the police officers there that are trying to do their job. Being vile before that police officer. And there's several of them walking by. And then as they were marching through the police officers, the one poor guy had to stop right in front of this thing. And the vileness coming out was incredible. And you can tell he was under orders, do nothing. It's in that moment in my flesh, I so wanted him to hear in his earpiece, the orders have changed. Do not take any of this. Because you know what? The only reason that person had that braveness is because they knew what orders were in place. You remove that, oh, they're cowering in a heartbeat. But see what is taking place with the amount of men now that think they're women. The amount of women now that think they're men. The ability and power of Satan to keep people in darkness. Incredible. And we're seeing it before our eyes. So he has a measure of power. We know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as well as the book of Revelation, he has the power to perform miracles. How many were here? How many old timers of Independent Baptist Church remember the missionary? And see, I preached for him. He became a supporting church of mine. He was in the Ivory Coast of Africa. He came back here and reported. We had to dismiss all of our children out of the auditorium. I think everybody that was 17 and younger had to leave the auditorium because of his presentation. He told us ahead of time. He was a BBF missionary, and I cannot think of his name right now. And I've had many conversations with him, but his name is escaping me. How many were here then? You know the video that I'm talking about. Remember that? That was crazy, wasn't it? In that video, he was showing the power of the Satanism and the demonism that was taking place in the Ivory Coast. He had showed the witch doctor there taking and just slicing his arm right open. I mean, just butchered himself right there. Then taking his holy water and healing himself in 2 seconds later. I mean, the devil himself went after the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil went after Peter. He went after Paul. Paul addresses that as well. He went after David. He went after Job. You can think of all those who have fallen away. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's active. His hierarchy is in place. You know, when we went through Paul, as we're going through the book of Acts, there were several things that were convicting in my life as I went through it, which I truly hope will be a genuine help to me through the rest of my years in ministry. And that was just, and even in Proverbs today, if you had Proverbs in your reading today, well, actually, I think I'm 2 days off, so I'm probably 2 days behind all of you right now, dealing with how the diligence will stand before kings. Paul and his work ethic. The guy just didn't stop. Constantly going and going and going. That devil isn't any different. He's not worried about days off. He's worried about destruction. And I believe he knows time is short. He has power. The Bible also describes for us, this is still under the same point, his personality. I mean, we can just imagine this creature in heaven with really the splendor that he must have had. It really must have been majestic to have seen him in heaven when he was created. We know from 2 Corinthians 11:14, that he has the ability to transform himself into an angel of light. This is the one all of us have to be most careful of. He doesn't come with a pitchfork, a tail, and horns. He doesn't come under the guise of Satanism. He comes with a suit and a Bible. And a smile. And you don't. There's ways you can begin to recognize it immediately. There's no doubt. One, we have the Spirit of God indwelling us. We do. If you're right with God, you're going to recognize things. He has the same pattern, though, that has been in place since Genesis 3. And he definitely has trouble breaking it because I don't think God will let him. So there's certain things you can look for. If that person with that Bible and that smile is there to produce doubt, that's not of God. It's not of God. He can transform himself into an angel of light. The devil right now, let's think about this right now and what's taking place. The thought just hit me now. I should have used that image from 2 weeks ago now that just stuck in my mind when I referred to it once. I really need to show it to you because to me, I found it just startling. And one of the leading Southern Baptist churches of our day today is compared to a leading Southern Baptist church in the mid-80s. All right? And that church in the mid-80s I'm referring to is Adrian Rogers. How many know what Adrian Rogers is? Does that name ring a bell? Of course, he's dead now. He pastored in Memphis, Tennessee. You probably know him for his radio program. He's one of the best expository preachers there was. For our time frame, he just might be the best expository preacher that there was. And I had a clip had popped up when I was going through the Sermon on the Storm that I'd watched from his church when he was preaching from Acts chapter 27. And although his words were great, that wasn't what grabbed my attention about it. What grabbed my attention was the congregation. And they have cameramen everywhere there. I don't know, he must have been on television. The amount of cameramen were just everywhere. All right. And all the congregation dressed modestly. Everyone, Bibles in hand. There was nobody sleeping. At least, they probably were told, don't zoom in on somebody sleeping. I do understand that. But nonetheless, even in the big views of 1,000 at a time, you just could not find anybody that was not on the edge of their seat listening. Now, I agree. So you preach like him, we would do the same thing. But everybody was on the edge of their seat listening to every word. The cameramen with their cameras, even from a distance, could zoom in on their Bibles and they had it timed perfectly. They would zoom in as he was talking about a verse and watching the people mark, underline, put in the Word of God. It was nice to see. Then you go to today's, one of the leading Southern Baptist churches, Elevation Church. Steve Furtick is the pastor of that church, an ordained Southern Baptist pastor. His church is bigger than Adrian Rogers. Although he does, I just found this out, he does cheat with that, which is no surprise whatsoever. I won't get into that now, but it was shocking what he does to get members. But anyhow, and so then I pulled up a clip of his service. I think is Mitch here? I pulled you in the office for this, didn't I? I had him come in and say, you need to see this. You don't see one Bible. And then, of course, when the songs hit, everybody's standing up and dancing, and they feel so good. The devil appears as an angel of light. And nobody convinces people that your sin is just fine. You're doing good. You're okay. We've evolved. We've left off that nasty word called tradition. We've evolved. And really, you could just see how sickening it was. He appears as an angel of light. We know from the text of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, that he's also an attribute that the Bible gives him is a roaring lion. Now, there's two ways I like to look at this. One of them is if you have read the book Pilgrim's Progress and his imagery that he uses for this section of the roaring lion, but it was teeth. The roar was powerful and scary. But when you walk by faith, for the person walking by faith, there was nothing to it. And I just really enjoyed that analogy that he gave in that book. But nonetheless, he is a roaring lion. And as such, you know what the devil uses here? So sometimes he can use deception as an angel of light to keep you from the will of God or to lead to your destruction. In the end, he wants your destruction. He just doesn't want you out of the will of God. He wants you destroyed. All right. So he's capable of using deception in your life, of getting you to believe your sin is okay. All right. The roaring lion's a different angle. It's a different part of his personality, a different part of his tactic. This one, I believe, it covers an element of fear. Of the devil using fear to keep people in check, if you will. To keep people that don't want to walk by faith, that don't want to get out of the boat. Using fear to keep us from serving God as we should. Fear when you see the giants. Fear when you see the storm. Forgetting about the greatness of our God. The only thing you see is a roaring lion. I will say that the attribute of a roaring lion, I believe, does show a measure of strength and, of course, the desire to devour. He wants to do more than just trip you. He wants to devour you. All right. I'm not going to go in for time's sake and my throat description of it, but we all know how a lion hunts. A lion looks for the easy prey. That's what he does. Same thing the devil does. It's not because the devil's lazy, like you could almost attribute to a lion, but the devil does it because of God's protection and where God's at. When he sees somebody removing themselves from that or making themselves vulnerable, he's going to pounce. Which is why, as Christians, we are not to be ignorant of his devices. Thirdly, under his personality, we saw this in our text in Genesis chapter 3. He was more subtle than any beast of the field. He's subtle. Again, it's never direct. It's subtlety. It starts with small change. That's why it's so important. What an important aspect that direction plays. There might be things that you're doing in your life that are not sinful. They're not. There's nothing I could ever go to Scripture. I could not even tell you that they're sinful. They would not be. But for some, what it can be, and very possibly can be, for some, just depends where they're at, it can show direction. It can be an indicator in your life of a red flag that you need to look at because you're playing with fire and you don't realize it. Why? Because the devil is more subtle than any beast of the field. He knows how to get in your mind. And he knows if I can just get Levi, he knows I can't get him right into sin right now. I can't do that. I just got to get him to change direction. That's all I got to do. I got to get direction. See, the devil, unlike us, I'm impatient. I am learning patience in amazing ways the last 4 or 5 years. All right? We're impatient. We want things now. We want our spiritual growth now. We want things now. The devil's very patient. How old are you right now? I know you're my grandson, but I have no idea how old you are. How old are you right now? What's that? That's what I was going to say. Leave what the devil knows, you're 12 years old. You're getting ready to become a teenager. You're going to be changing greatly over the next 3 to 5 years. You're going to be trying to figure out who you are, what being a man is, all that in just the next 3 or 4 years. He also knows different desires that are going to come into play that come about as you change into a man. And you better believe that even right now, he's going to work just to affect your direction. That's what he has to get in place. Direction. He's more subtle than any beast of the field. He will gradually, he sets you up for the trap. He's trying to get you closer to the trap, closer to the place that he can destroy you. And his purpose, and I'm going to finish with this, still the same point. One, and I'm going to take this all from the Word of God. That's what we always need to stay with. We know from Matthew 13:19, with the parable that Jesus was teaching us about Satan. Listen, he wants to remove God's Word from you. Is it not minimized today in our churches? Who did I just have preach? Who just preached here? Brother Letson. When Brother Letson just preached here from Michigan, the pastor in Illinois, when we were fellowshipping earlier, I loved it. As soon as he sat down, I knew it's because I've only, in the past 15 years, I've probably only seen him twice. And so he sat down, but as soon as he sat down, I mean, him and his wife, he started railing on the Emerging Church and Direction Baptist Church. I was like, yes, yeah, you can preach tonight. And so we started talking about that. And so we began discussing where this is coming from. When did all this begin? And so I told him a true story when I was in near my hometown of Cleveland, Ohio, in Lodi, Ohio. And Victory Baptist Church, I'll give the names out. I still can't believe this took place. And this is going all the way back to 2002, 2001. It's at Victory Baptist Church, Pastor Tim Neptune, Lodi, Ohio. There with my family, I'm preaching on a Sunday morning service. We got there Saturday afternoon, and in all honesty, when I was talking to the pastor, a few red flags popped up. But Pastor Roach, he really did give me, he gave a really good piece of advice before a debutation. And I stuck with it throughout, and it helped me throughout. And he said, always remember, you're not there to fix problems. He said, when you go, you're going to see different things. You're not there to fix problems. Just stay with why you're there. And so Sunday morning comes. And this is going all the way back to 2002, 2003. Nowadays, this would just be common. But they were already setting up for a worship team. The songs were so, contemporary, thank you. Were so contemporary, I mean, very, very contemporary. And singing over and over and over. So, it gets to 11:55. I'm still sitting in the pew with my kids thinking, how you call this a worship service is beyond me. And then it's time for the preaching. And so actually I walk this side, Pastor Neptune, as we crossed each other, he whispers in my ear, you have 5 minutes. Whew. I was so glad I had that advice from Pastor Roach that day while I was there. But wow, he doesn't even recognize the very parable that Christ spoke about removing God's Word. Let's entertain them. Let's make them happy. Let's bring the people. They want to come. Do you think that they want to come to hear the preaching of the Word of God there? No, they're entertained. It feels good to go to church there. This isn't here to make you feel good. It isn't. This is not to be entertainment based. We're not, obviously I'm not. I'm not up here for your entertainment. Unless it's how I speak. He wants to remove God's Word. He's done a very good job in the churches. Think of this. We're dealing with the churches that hold truth. And he's been successful at minimizing or taking away the Word of God. From Zechariah chapter 3, two more, I'm going longer than I thought I would. To hinder you from God's service. His efforts will do his best to hinder you from God's service. You know, you can come up with a bazillion reasons why you can't serve God. The devil will supply them all day long for you. Start looking for reasons why you can serve instead of why you can't. Pastor, I can't do the nursery. I've got this. Start looking why you can do it. Start looking why you can serve. The devil is great at trying to prevent you from getting in a place of service. And lastly, we know this. His purpose is to tempt you. He is the tempter, the Bible says. He knows how to produce temptation. He knows, it's just not, I mean, there's temptations he can put before me that are not going to affect me. They're not. For instance, you know, if he was to put a pack of cigarettes by me, that will have no temptation on me whatsoever. None. That would affect Bob greatly, I understand that, but that would not affect me at all. But you know what? He knows what will affect me. Not because he's all-knowing, because he studies. He works at it. He knows what affects you. You know, if you're prone to fly off the handle with anger, he's going to throw little things at you all day. Just keep you in that carnal mindset. He's going to throw things at you all day. Just keep you in that mindset. He'll study you. One of his purposes is to tempt you to sin because he knows ultimately that is what destroys you, is sin. With heads bowed and eyes closed.